were only designed to operate for 90 days on Mars. So we're well past their nominal design life.
They're past warranty almost.
Not almost. They are past warranty.
And I know one has is gone to sleep.
That's right. Spirit has gone into a deep hibernation in this current winter. You know, the rovers have gone through three winters on Mars already. They're now just coming out of their fourth winter. And because Spirit became embedded before this fourth winter, we weren't able to reposition it favorably for the deep, dark days of winter. And so it didn't have it didn't generate enough energy each day during the depth of the winter to power all its systems. So it is powered down into a hibernation state. It's not talking to us. And so we haven't heard from the rover in many, many weeks.
And do you anticipate that are you going to hear from her again? Him or her? What do you call them? Call it?
Her. her. Yeah, our expectation is that we will hear from Spirit sometime in the late September, early October timeframe, or perhaps later. But the rover is going to get colder than it's ever been before on Mars because it's shut down. And
we're talking tested. Temperatures, like what kind of temperatures are we talking about?
We're talking about minus 55 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
So this is, you know, Antarctic temperatures. That's the internal temperature that the rover will experience. The outside will be even colder than that.
Wow.
So we're talking about temperatures colder than Antarctica without any heaters being on. So, you know, think of leaving your laptop out at night in the wintertime in Antarctica and expecting it to work the next day.
And a laptop that's been outside for more than 6 years is already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Now, is it Spirit or Opportunity that has the bum leg?
Spirit is the rover that has two of the six wheels that no longer work. And so that's the rover that has degraded mobility.
And so essentially, it can't get around nearly as efficiently as it could before.
That's right.
Now, Opportunity is making a trek. It's still cruising around, and where is it, and where is it going?
Opportunity is on the other side of the planet, and it has been driving successfully the entire time it's been on Mars. And it is it's approaching 22 kilometers of odometry. This was a rover that was designed to only go 1 kilometer, and it's already gone 22 times that. And it's on the way to this giant crater called Endeavour. That's still some 10 to 12 kilometers away. So we're talking about, you know, adding another 50% to this already extended odometry to get to this crater. But we want to get there because it's scientifically exciting. There are these clay minerals that are found around this crater that we see from orbit that formed a long time ago in neutral water, neutral pH water. This is very exciting because we found evidence of acidic water, ancient acidic water on Mars, but not neutral water, which is exciting to the astrobiologists because if you're looking for life, you expect life to have formed or started in a neutral pH environment. So this is evidence of that existing in the past, so we want to go explore it.
And this has never really been explored before. This is, I mean, Spirit's really going, or no, Opportunity is really uncharted territory.
Well, both rovers, yeah, have been, from day one, have been in uncharted territory. We're exploring this place for the first time. You know, we're like Lewis and Clark. You know, this vast unexplored territory. We're discovering it for the first time.
And is this operating? I mean, does he just keep trekking out there and keep going 24/7? I guess they don't have their day isn't 24/7, but their day week.
Well,
isn't.
Actually, it is. A Martian day is 24 hours and 40 minutes long, so it's just 40 minutes longer than an Earth day.
Okay.
The rovers work pretty much during the daytime. They're solar powered, so whenever the sun is up on Mars, that's when we're operating them. But we operate the rovers day to day. I have a team of people, one for each rover, that each day they come in and they build commands and instructions for the rover for that day, and then the rover carries them out autonomously over the course of the day, you know, tells us what it did, goes to sleep for the night, and then wakes up the next morning, and we got another list of instructions for it to do. And we've been doing that day after day for over 2,300 days now.
And do you still, I know early on folks were living Martian days, Martian weeks, and so that 40 minutes over time really causes you, all of a sudden you're up in the middle of the night or something. Do folks still do that?
I have a small team of people that still work what is called Mars time, in that their workday shifts by 40 minutes each day. So sometimes they're working in the middle of the night, sometimes they're working on weekends, birthdays, holidays, and so forth. But that's only three people out of a team of about 100. The rest of us have been working pretty much normal business hours.
Yeah, but that must really mess up with your mind. I mean, you know, talk about working an overnight shift. This is, I mean, 40 minutes different every you know, all of a sudden
yeah,
you're
but you
just...
get to sleep in an extra 40 minutes every day.
Okay, that's what you call looking at the bright side of things. talk a little bit about these. So what do you do to... these things are way over their lifespan, their expected lifespan. Do you have to treat them differently now? Or do you say, hey, anything we get is bonus, so we're just going for it?
Well, anything we get is bonus, but we do recognize that they're older, they are perhaps a little bit more frail or a little bit more arthritic, but they're still tremendously capable resources, and you know, and they're on the surface of another world. Right now, it is the only presence on the surface of another world anywhere in the solar system.
Wow.
And so, as long as they have capability, we can explore. And you know, and the great thing about a rover is you're not stuck in the same location looking at the same real estate or the same rock day after day. We're driving and we're seeing new territory, new vistas. You know, as Opportunity heads towards Endeavour Crater, this is totally new, never seen before. And so they continue to be very fruitful, very productive explorers on this strange world.
How do you get that data back? And it must be just so much data. Occasionally, you just have to go, oh my goodness, we can't process it all.
Well, it's not so much data in that the rovers can take more images and more science measurements than we can actually get back over our communication link. We get about 100 images a day from each rover.
Wow. And
that translates down to about 100 megabits of data. So, you know, stuff that would easily fit within your cell phone or your thumb drive. So it's not a huge amount of data each day, but the fact that it's from this exotic location deep out in space is what makes each one of those little bits count so much.
And these essentially come via radio waves, right?
That's right. We take advantage of two orbiting spacecraft at Mars, Mars Odyssey and the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, and they serve as data relay satellites for us. So the rovers have a little UHF radio. It's kind of like a CB radio on each rover that transmits the data up to the orbiting spacecraft.
Huh?
Now, the rovers can talk directly to Earth, but that's not as energy efficient as just talking to a relay satellite that's close by. So over 97% of all the data has actually come through Mars Odyssey via this relay.
Wow. There's another project, another Mars rover project that's going on at JPL. What's your connection with those folks? Are any connection whatsoever? Do you offer tips to them? This is what worked really well for us or what didn't work. How does that kind of relationship work?
Well, you know, it's kind of like older sibling, younger sibling. you know, we've gone through junior high and high school, and we're now telling our younger sibling, what lunchroom to avoid and what the PE class to get into. Obviously, many of the experiences that we've had on Mars were provided to the next rover mission, the Mars Science Laboratory. And many of the same people that built our rovers are building this next rover. So there's a lot of connection. But we're also learning how you explore the surface of another world through a robotic vehicle. And that experience we're transferring to the next rover. So they don't make the same mistakes we do.
But talk about sibling rivalry. These new rovers have a lot to live up to. They, you know, six months, it's not 3 months. They have to live like 10 years in order to prove that they're better than their siblings.
This is very much like that when you have an older sibling who's a, you know, valedictorian,
right,
and captain,
exactly,
of the football team and, you know, all the things like that. When the younger sibling comes along, there's a lot of expectation, and that's certainly the case here.
Are they going to explore different parts of Mars now that these two, Spirit and Opportunity, have been able to do much more than really anybody ever expected?
They haven't established the landing location for the next rover, which is called Curiosity, by the way. but it'll be at a location different from our two rovers. But they will certainly, they've certainly used, benefited from a lot of the discoveries we've made, because one of the things that our rovers have done is they've provided a ground truth to orbiting information. You know, when you look at an orbital image and you say, well, what are those small features? We now know what those kinds of features are on the ground because we've been there with the two rovers. So when they're doing landing site selection for the next rover and they see those kind of features, they say, aha, okay, we know what those things are now. And so that's been a great help in selecting where the next rover will go.
The most misunderstood thing about the rovers? What are people just, the thing that people just have a mischaracterize? I mean, it's funny how people always think of these guys as people.
They are very much, you know, anamorphic in that we invest them with human qualities because they're, you know, they're intrepid, they're dutiful, they have different personalities. They exhibit human-like qualities in that, you know, they think for themselves, they interact with their environment, and they like to tell us what they found.
And they're great at sharing that information. They're the ultimate information sharers.
Well, you know, these rovers, I mean, it's important to remember, these rovers are exploring on the for the benefit of all humankind. I mean, it's, you know, these rovers don't belong to NASA, they don't belong to the United States, they belong to everyone. And what they've been discovering about Mars helps us all, and we'd love to share that story with everyone.
And I just go on the website regularly just to check out the latest photo from Mars. They just these incredible photos that come down from another planet away, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely, one of the great legacies that these two rovers will have is that they've made Mars a familiar place. Mars is now our neighborhood. It's no longer this strange, distant, alien world. You know, my team goes to work on Mars every day. So, you know, that's the one of the great intangibles these rovers have given us, is that that our universe is larger now. Our world is larger, and that it now includes the surface of Mars.
Great. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
Even as old as these two rovers are, there's still an exciting future ahead for each one. Opportunity, it's getting to Endeavour Crater to explore these clay minerals. For Spirit, once we recover from the winter, we're going to use that rover as a way to investigate the interior of the planet by tracking its radio signal, because the rover will be stationary or near stationary. And so by tracking its radio signal, we actually measure the motion of the planet Mars. And measuring that motion, we can look for the subtle wobble in the spin of the planet, which tells us about not only the distribution of mass inside the planet, like the size of the core, but whether the core is liquid or solid. So both rovers will be very busy for as long as we can make them busy on the surface.
So even though Spirit isn't going to be trekking around, still a lot of data that she can offer up.
There's still world-class science, or I should say solar system-class science, that these two rovers will do.